Well, last week in Bonn, Germany, which is where Ludwig van Beethoven was born, a very special performance took place. 194 years after the composer's death, a finished version of the famously unfinished Symphony No. 10 was performed by the Beethoven Orchestra Bonn. The finishing was done by an artificial intelligence created by a team of computer scientists and musicologists and Beethoven experts. Here's a sample of the finished, unfinished product. Dr. Ahmed El-Gamal is the founder and director of the Art and Artificial Intelligence Laboratory at Rutgers University, and he presided over the artificial intelligence side of this fascinating project. And I'm very pleased to say he joins us now on Sunday Extra. Welcome, Dr. Ahmed El-Gamal.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. Welcome.
Why did the director of the Karajan Institute in Salzburg, Dr. Matthias Roeder, bring this project to you, Ahmed?
He knows about my work earlier about using AI to generate art that we did a couple of years ago, where we fed the AI about art history and the AI was creating novel art. So he approached me about this project and asked me a simple question. Can AI finish Beethoven 10th Symphony from the sketches that he left?
And I understand it's a pretty big challenge. Was this project applying skills that you'd already used, or was there something new and unique about it?
Definitely some of the skills that I have been used before. I have been in the domain of creative AI for a long time, but I haven't done much work on music in particular. I've been following what's happening in music, but I haven't worked in any project of that scale in music. So that was quite a challenge for me and my team. But at the same time, it was an amazing challenge. I love Beethoven personally. When I heard about this project, I got hooked.
Now, you mentioned that the challenge is to complete the symphony based on the notes that Beethoven left. Exactly what source materials did you have to work with?
Beethoven left some sketches for the 10th Symphony. And the majority of it was already used by Barry Cooper back in 1988 to create the first movement of that symphony, where most of the material was left. However, beyond the first movement, whatever left was very, very sparse. It's basically some musical notes, a few bars of music here and there, which just give us ideas of the starting points of some of the movements, some of the main themes in the movements. So it was a lot to really fill in.
In terms of the inputs that went into your artificial intelligence, did you include data from other Beethoven works as well?
First, the AI has to learn how to develop a theme like Beethoven. Exactly like, for example, the most famous example is the Fifth Symphony, the first four notes of the Fifth Symphony, ta-ta-ta-ta.
Yeah.
And then you see that Beethoven would take these four notes and develop a whole movement based on that. And this is the same in all his work, basically. And even before Beethoven, if you look at Mozart and Haydn and others, there is this concept of a theme and development. So this is the first task that AI has to do. I have to learn how to develop on a theme. And then after that, how to combine different segments of music. You have one segment and one other segment, and then you want basically to bridge from one to another the same way Beethoven would do that. And then you have to harmonize the music. And then finally, you have to orchestrate the whole composition to decide which instrument will play what and when and which instrument play together. So all these tasks has to be learned based on Beethoven music. So that was a challenge. How can we train the AI on Beethoven music? So first thought about what Beethoven growing up would have listened to. And trained our first version of the AI based on old classical music that was there at the time of late 18th century. That includes all Baroque music, all Bach, all Italian music, Vivaldi, Mozart, and Haydn. So that was the first version of the AI, which is basically like any composer who living in that area can compose and orchestrate. And then we used this AI and now train it more on Beethoven. So now we take all Beethoven sonatas, all Beethoven concertos, all Beethoven string quartet, and all Beethoven symphonies, and basically work on to train the AI how to compose, how to orchestrate, how to harmonize all these different tasks.
The whole project, of course, was a collaboration between the computer scientists and also, as I mentioned, musicologists and the Beethoven experts. Could you give us a little bit of an insight into how the collaboration between what you've sort of described as the human side and the machine side evolved?
From the beginning, we wanted them to be a collaboration. We didn't have a machine that we just feed it the sketches and give us a symphony. We meant it to be an understanding, a way to understand what is the process, how can we create a symphony based on the available sketches. So the human experts first have to decide what to do with the sketches, how to interpret sketches, which sketches will go where in the movement. And that requires a lot of expertise in terms of Beethoven and how he uses his material. So that's totally something coming from the music expert, which sketch goes where, solving that puzzle. So the AI will take the sketches as seeds, and then the AI will basically start to develop on each of these seeds to have longer and longer sequence of music. And then we will give these back to the musicologists and composers, and then they have to put them where they fit into the structure of the symphony that they have in mind. For example, there's a theme, and then there's a development on the theme, and then there's a second theme, and there's a development of the second theme, and there are certain repetition that has to happen. That structure, that overall structure, that also comes from the human experts.
That's really fascinating, and it shows that it really was a collaboration. Am I right in thinking that the AI generates multiple possible scenarios for the music, and that the musicians and composers are then making creative selections about which ones they like most, as well as where they go in the finished symphony?
Yes, that's true. This is something that's very challenging, actually, and very fortunate also that the AI can really generate many generations based on any sketch. And also for orchestration, once you have the composition done, the AI can generate multiple orchestration of the same symphony, which is something amazing. I mean, I spent a lot of time actually listening to all of these and enjoying all of them. Unfortunately, we have to only give one version to the world at the end, and that basically the work of the composer, where you have to really select which version to use out of each generation and put these things together based on their vision and based on their insights. Because at the end, I mean, again, our goal is not to just have a machine that do the job from A to Z. We want to show to the world that basically AI can be used as a tool for artists and composers to do what they want to do. And the artists are the one who are in control of the process. That's really the ultimate goal.
That's really fascinating. And it does suggest that there could be some variations of the unfinished symphony coming out perhaps in the future. It's an extraordinarily ambitious and no doubt complicated task. Even after you started the project, the unfinished symphony did remain unfinished, I gather, for a little bit longer than was planned. Now, of course, we can give you a bit of leeway because there was a pandemic along the way. How long did the overall process take to get to a finished product that you were happy to release and to have performed?
Yeah, it took 2 years, actually. It was a long project. And as I said, I mean, originally the goal was to perform in April 2020 in the actually birthday of Beethoven. But because of the pandemic, that was canceled and delayed. And that actually gave us a lot more time to really improve what the AI can do. Right now, when I listen to the first version that we generated at that time, I wasn't happy about it at all.
But
then it was more time. Yeah, it was more time. We came back to the blackboard, try to understand what are the problems, how to make AI work better. We really worked in particular in the problem of how to develop in a theme and fed the AI lots of data that human expert labeled for us. Where is the theme and where is the development exactly in many, many pieces of music. So the AI really learned that skill very, very well. And that's what makes a big difference in the final outcome. It's really, when you listen to it now, it moves from the sketch to the extrapolation by the AI. Nobody can really tell where the AI starts, where the sketch stops, and then it goes fluently and doesn't forget the main theme. One of the problems of previous AI music generation, it's more like when you're writing a text in your email, and then the email try to guess what's the next word. If you just follow these words as it comes to you and keep going, you'll see after a while it start diverging and becoming funny. So we really have to make sure that doesn't happen in the music. We have a theme and development, and the AI have to really remember what is the theme and have to really keep generating music based on that theme, not diverging from it. And that was a really major achievement that we had, and that's why we can really finish a whole two movements and make it really sticking to the main music that Beethoven wrote.
Well, a little bit of a silver lining to the pandemic there. I don't think I've ever asked an artificial intelligence scientist about opening night nerves, Dr. Ahmed El-Gamal, but were you nervous about the work finally coming out into the public? And what were the reviews like? How well was it received?
Yeah, definitely I was nervous, but when I first heard the recording, like a month before the performance, they sent me the first recording, I was very happy, and I was sure that everybody would like it. In terms of the feedback, definitely we have a whole different kind of feedback across the spectrum. We have people who loved it, and I have friends who told me that he spent the whole day listening to even the 3 minutes that we aired earlier. Teaser kind of music that we put on YouTube earlier. They spend the whole day just listening to it. I have people telling me that we have tears in their eyes. They have goosebumps listening to this. So I have all this kind of positive response from people who really love classical music and love Beethoven. And on the other hand, there are people who are very skeptic about even the idea of using AI to do this project. And they wouldn't like any outcome that AI will produce. And the funny thing that most of these people actually would come and comment about things like basically some part of the movement, they say that basically it reminds them of certain other music by Beethoven. For example, the third movement that we just heard earlier has a lot of similarity to the fifth movement. And this is actually what Beethoven wrote. Beethoven make it that beginning.
So you can't blame the computer for that.
Exactly. That.
It's been great speaking with you, and it's a really fascinating project. Congratulations and thank you, Dr. Ahmed El-Gamal.
Thank you very much.
And Ahmed is the founder and director of the Art and Artificial Intelligence Laboratory at Rutgers University, and he was in charge of the AI side of the project to finish Beethoven's Unfinished Symphony.